Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
We just want to say, if you're a guest today, massive welcome. If you joined us for Easter and you're returning, you're back with us, we are so glad to have you here today. And we are launching our latest campaign. We do this via video because we are one church. And so we are one church in many locations in this city. And we have the one mission, which is to help people know Jesus, find community, discover purpose. So we are moving together. We had a great March, King of Kings. And this month, we are talking about Jesus saved me from dot, dot, dot. And we're going to fill in the blanks this month, each week. This week, we're talking about Jesus saved me from a false gospel. So I want to read you a story. It's called 100 Points. A man dies and goes to heaven. St. Peter meets him at the pearly gates. St. Peter says, here's how it works. You need 100 points to make it into heaven. You tell me all the good things you've done, and I give you a certain number of points for each item, depending on how good it was. When you reach 100 points, you get in. Okay, the man says, I attend a church every Sunday. That's good, said St. Peter. That's worth 2 points. 2 points, he says. Well, I gave 10% of all my earnings to God. Well, let's see, answered Peter. I think that's worth another 2 points. Did you do anything else? 2 points? Golly. How about this? I started a soup kitchen in my city and worked in a shelter for homeless veterans. Fantastic, said St. Peter. That's certainly worth a point. The man says, well, what about this? I have been faithfully married for 50 years. That's wonderful, said St. Peter. That's worth 3 points. 3 points! You got to be joking, the man says. At this rate, the only way I'm going to get into heaven is by the grace of God. And St. Peter said, exactly. Isn't that good? Come on, exactly. And that's what we're talking about today, everybody. We're talking about the grace of God. So are you ready for the word? Come on, everybody, are you ready for the word? I want you to get your Bible out. Even the cameraman's ready for the word of God. We are ready today. It's going to be a great message. I want you to get out your Bible, ESV, NIV, NKJV, KJV, whatever you've got. We love the word of God. And church, listen, let's have fun today. Let's not be sitting back watching a show. Let's lean in. Let's yell at the screen. Let's yell across the room. Let's enjoy the word of God together today. Amen. Amen. You got to have some fun, right? So we're going to go to the book of Galatians, and we're going to go to Galatians 1 verse 6. And here's what I want you to see, because we're going to go to the screen. And in Galatians 1 verse 6, Paul comes out very straight, rather aggressive. He says this, I am astonished. I am astonished. He can't believe it. He is gobsmacked that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to, catch this wording, a different gospel. A different gospel, which really is no gospel at all. Isn't that amazing? Because here's the thing. We have a tendency to drift from the true gospel. We do. Religion tends to pull us away from the true gospel. And in the book of Galatians, Paul is writing, it's not just one church, it's multiple churches in Galatia, and he's writing to them because they are being pulled, they are straying away from the true gospel. They are being influenced by Jewish culture and by the Jewish community in the churches that are trying to add to the gospel. So they are being pulled away. They are the Gentiles are falling away from the true gospel. And the true gospel is all about the grace of Christ. This is the true gospel. And so Paul is upset that there is a perversion, there is a corruption to the true gospel because there is an adding of works to salvation. Meaning, for my salvation to be truly salvation, it's not just faith in the grace and the work of Christ, it's faith in Christ plus. Faith in Christ plus circumcision. Faith in Christ plus abiding by the requirements of the Torah or the law. Faith in Christ plus, and this is a perversion to the gospel that Paul is very upset about. It's essentially saying that the finished work of the cross is not enough to be saved. Faith in what Jesus did is not enough. It's essentially saying that salvation by grace through faith, have you heard that before? Salvation by grace through faith is not enough. And this is really important to catch because it would be like this. If I was to say to you, hey, we want you to receive Christ. And church, that's what we're all about. When we preach, you're going to hear all about Jesus. That is our job, our goal, our heart is that you would know Christ. But here's the thing. If we were to say, hey, to be saved, you need to receive Christ, put your faith in Christ, and you need to do the foundations class. Now we have a thing called foundations. It's a class. We do it in our connect groups. We do it in small groups. And this is where we're unpacking the foundations of our faith so that we have a full understanding of what our faith is, what it's all about, what it looks like. But when we have this foundations class, what you need to understand is that is not something we are adding unto salvation. We are not saying it is faith in Christ plus your foundations class to be saved. We are saying it is faith in Christ alone. The only way you are saved, the only way to receive salvation is by faith in Christ alone. We're not adding it to it. We have these things to strengthen us, but they are not unto salvation. And so what was happening in the Galatian church is there was a lot of confusion, and it was causing the Gentiles, it was causing the church to drift. So let's read some more in Galatians 2. Come with me. Galatians 2, 15 to 21. Let's read some more. It says, we ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ. So here's the scripture. Faith in Christ Jesus. So we also have believed in Christ. It's in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Even the Jews who were living by the law would not be justified by the law. The only way to be justified, the only way unto salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's read on. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners. Is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore, I proved myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law. And we're going to look at this next week, what the law is and that Jesus saved us from the law so that I might live to God. I have, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I. It's no longer, look at that, no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen to this. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness were through the law, listen to this, everybody, then Christ died for no purpose. This is incredible. What he is saying, what I want you to understand, everybody, here's what I want you to understand. Justification goes beyond this statement that we've heard before, just as if I'd never sinned. Have you heard that? Justification is just as if I'd never sinned. And that's not wrong, but it's not the full picture. Justification goes beyond that. The implication of being justified, it means I am now a part of the family of God. It means my new identity is I am a child of God. Justification speaks of my acceptance into the family of God, that now I am the people of God. This is what Jesus did for us. He justified us. We are justified through faith in Christ, meaning once I wasn't part of the family of God. I was the creation of God, but I was not part of the family of God. But through faith in Jesus, I go from being outside of the family to being inside of the family. I am now a child. I now belong to God. And this is what is so interesting, is the Jewish community found this very offensive, because the Jewish community were very proud of being the people of God. And that's a wonderful thing, that the Jewish community, the people of God, but they become so fixated on them being the people of God based on the law that it was almost offensive. It was offensive to them to think that a Gentile could be justified through faith. Meaning, it was offensive to think that this outsider could now become an insider, that this outcast, that this rejected, evil person could now be accepted by God, so much so that that once rejected person is now a child of God, now part of the family of God. This was offensive to the Jewish community. And so much so that there was an influence in the Galatian church from the Jewish community that was trying to put the requirements of the law onto the Gentiles. They were trying to say, hey, it's not just by faith in Christ that you are justified, that you are now part of the family of God. It's by faith in Christ, and you need to add the requirements of the law, the Torah. You need to live by these rules. You need to live. Now, the Torah is good. The Torah is not wrong. There's nothing inherently wrong about the law. The law was given by God. It's a good thing. But it was now not the way to be justified. We're no longer justified by the law. We're justified by faith in the finished work of the cross. And this is what the tension was in the Galatian church. There was a lot of tension. And the biggest issue was that the Jews were trying to add to the gospel. They were trying to add requirements of the law to the gospel, and that makes it a different gospel. Remember those words? It is now a different gospel when we add to the gospel. And so here's what I want you to see. Here I have some cordial. Come on, yell at the screen today if you like cordial. Yell at me. Do you like cordial? Couple of people. Got some teenagers in the room. I quite like cordial. Don't drink it a lot, but you know, when I get to, it's a wonderful thing. Who likes water? Anyone like H2O? You like water? Come on, you need to drink more water, everybody. Get those 3 liters in. That's why I have a big water bottle. That's why everyone has really big water bottles these days, so you can get your liters in. So I also have a cup. Love a good cup. And so the thing I want you to see is, if I take this jug of water and I pour it into this cup, I have, ready, this is amazing. When I do that, I now have a glass of water. Amazing, right? A glass of water. But here's the thing, it is water, it is one substance, it is pure, it is true, truly water. But if I add some cordial and I put a bit of extra into the water, when I pour it in, look what happens to the water. The water was water, but when I add cordial, it is no longer water, it is cordial. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It has changed in substance. It is no longer water, it is now cordial. It is a different substance to what it was originally. And this is what Paul is saying to the Galatian church. This is the message. When you add to the gospel doesn't need any addition. You are saved through faith in Christ alone. That is the only way. That's the only substance. That is it. But when you add, oh yeah, but to be saved, you need to do this. And you've got to add this. And you've got to do these requirements to be saved. When that happens, we no longer have the same substance. We now have a different gospel. We have lost the gospel entirely. It is not a little bit of the gospel, and it is the gospel alone that saves people. And we must fight religion, and we must fight things that want to pull us away from the revelation that it is by grace through faith that I'm saved. Amen, church? Come on, everybody. I want a good amen today. Come on. Amen. Amen. So there's not meant to be mixture. There is one true gospel. And Paul is confronting this. In fact, Paul confronted Peter about it. We read this in Galatians 2, verses 11 to 14. Look what it says. It says, but when Cephas, that's Peter, came to Antioch, Paul writing, I opposed him to his face. That's very Paul, very Paul thing to do, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, the certain men, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by the hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter, Cephas, before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? Are you hearing the passion Paul has? Are you seeing how he confronted Peter? Peter is the guy, and we looked at this in our Prepare the Way for the Lord campaign, the vision for the year, and that's the banner over this year. That's what this year is all about. We looked at that in the last week of that campaign, that Peter had a vision from heaven from God about not calling unclean what God has called clean. And this was that Peter was called by God to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And when he was preaching to the centurion and when he was preaching to Cornelius and his family and friends, the Holy Spirit fell. And the Gentiles were filled with the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongues. And so this is that Peter, but Peter has drifted. Even the apostle Peter drifted from the true gospel, and he had drifted into adding works. He was now no longer endorsing the Gentiles being justified, being accepted into the family of God by faith in Christ. So this is essentially what was happening. The Jews were saying, you need to be more like us if you want to be a part of us. But that is not true. To be accepted, listen everybody, to be accepted into the family of God, to become a child of the living God, it is not by your works. It is not by doing more good. It is not by changing your behavior. The way that you become a child of God is through faith in Christ and the finished work of the cross. It is faith in what He has done, not faith in what you have done to be saved. We are saved because of what He has done. So Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that one may boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so Paul is speaking to the Ephesian church and makes it clear that we are saved for good works, not by good works. Listen what he said. Salvation is not of your own doing. Hear it again, everybody. Salvation is not of your own doing. Come on, church, I want a good amen. Can you say amen to that? Remind your soul today, hey, if you don't know God, if you are new to following Jesus, I want you to catch this today. Salvation is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. And here's the thing. When we have earned our salvation, we will tend to then boast that it was by our efforts that we are saved. And now we start to compare ourselves among ourselves, thinking that there is this class system based on how holy, how much you do, what you've done, that starts to class us unto salvation. No, no, no. We are all sinners. We have all fallen short. And we are all saved by faith in Christ alone, so that we cannot boast. Listen, if I bought you a gift and you take the gift, who gets the credit for that gift? Me. Me. I bought you the gift. If you walk around saying, oh, look at this gift I got, I'm amazing. Well, you've kind of misunderstood what a gift is, because a gift is something that someone else got you. You didn't buy it. You didn't earn it. You didn't make it happen. It was given. And this is salvation. Salvation is the gift of God. We get the benefit of having it, but we don't get the credit for earning it. Listen to that again. We get the benefit of having the gift of salvation, but we don't get the credit for earning it. You cannot earn your salvation, but you can live in the benefits of salvation, the blessing of salvation. You can be a child of God because of salvation, but it is not to your credit. It is not to your glory. It is to the glory of God. Amen, everybody. Come on, every location. Clap your hands together. Say amen. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of salvation. So, what we need to understand as I come to a close, worship team, I'd love you to join me. We are saved for good works, not by good works. Good works come after salvation, not before it. So I do not get saved by my good works. I am saved to do good works. So listen, we have a thing called Go Week. Go Week does not justify us. Go Week does not save us. But we do Go Week because we are saved. We go and serve the community, love on the community, are generous and bless the local community because of salvation, not to earn it. We're not getting our 100 points from God, from St. Peter. We're not getting our 3 points for going and serving in the soup kitchen unto salvation. No, because I'm saved through faith, I'm going to go serve and bless and help the poor and be generous and build the church and advance the kingdom. Serving others by being on team at our church is not what justifies you. Serving others is what I do because I am justified. My whole framework of life because of salvation changes, that I've been given this free gift of salvation through faith in Christ. How can I not serve others? How can I not, having been so blessed by God, having received eternal life, life that lasts forever, having received everything I could ever possibly dream of receiving, how can I now not go and serve others? Leading, making disciples. We are not doing that to impress God or to earn salvation or to justify that we belong and we are accepted by God. We do that because we already are. And now because I am accepted by God, now because I am a child of God, I want to help others follow Jesus. I want to lead. I want to lift people up. I want to say, come this way, come and get baptized, come and read the Bible, come and join my connect group, come and follow God, come and consecrate your finances to Christ. I want to lead, I want to make disciples because I'm saved. And here's something that's really important. I think Paul was so direct and passionate about this because if we have salvation through faith plus works, plus good deeds, plus fulfilling the Torah, the law, it nullifies the cross. If we are saved by works on top of our faith, it is so egregious. It is so horrible of a concept. Paul is so passionate and so upset about this because it means that the cross was pointless. When you and I think that we are saved by works, by how good we are, by what we do, when we think we are accepted by God because of our works, not because of our faith in Christ, it is so egregious because it is to say that the horrific death, the horrific abuse, the horrific mockery, the horrific injustice, the horrific trauma and torment that Jesus went through to die a criminal's death on a beaten up cross whilst being completely innocent, completely pure, completely perfect. All he went through to have salvation by my works is to say that the cross was a total waste of time. Never let that be. Church, we will never let that be. Let us never offend the gospel so deeply to say that I've got to earn my salvation. I've got to earn my justification. To be a child of God, it is through faith in Christ and faith in Christ alone. So everybody, I'm going to hand back to the team. This is this month. We want you to know what you're saved from. And one of the things we are saved from is a false gospel. A false gospel is a different gospel that says I add to the gospel to be saved. But let's remember today we are saved through our faith in Christ and the finished work of the cross alone. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen. That was a good amen. I love you, church. And we can't wait to see you soon. Enjoy the rest of the morning.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.